Right, so let's go on to think about that verse. We heard it being sung to us just now. It's quite catchy, wasn't it? I quite like that one. Can we see the next one, please? Thank you. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we've heard a bit from Martin about how he understands what being an everyday worshipper is all about. Now, years and years ago, well over 1,000 years ago, there were people, both men and women, who wanted to be able to worship God all day, every day. But because of the way of thinking then, they thought that meant going to church all the time, all day, every day. And in fact, they probably would have thought, to do that, we'd really need to live in the church. And we call these people, they got together, the men all got together in monasteries, and we call them monks, and the women would get together in nunneries or convents, and they would worship God. Now, and they did that a lot, quite a lot. In fact, they went to 8 church services a day, because they thought worshipping has to be done in the church and at a special thing called a service. So they went 8 times a day. They even got up, having gone to bed, and they got up again for about midnight for their first service of the new day, to start the day in worshipping God. And then they went back to bed again, and then they got up what we would think of as pretty early for the next one. And so it went on for 8 services through the day. And then they realized as well that, of course, they had to do other things like feed themselves and so on. So some of them got other people to do that for them so they could concentrate on being worshipy. But then some of them realized that actually doing their food growing and gardening and farming, or looking after fish ponds to get fish, or looking after animals, could also be seen as their worship as well. So I wonder then, you might be thinking something like, well, this is a new idea to me. How do we really worship at work, or at home, or at school, or in whatever we're doing? Does it mean singing worship songs quietly under your breath while you're in the queue at the supermarket? Does it mean humming a Wesley hymn, or even better, Shine Jesus Shine, while you spray and dust the furniture at home? Does it mean beginning a work meeting with a time of prayer? Well, perhaps it does, but not necessarily. To paraphrase our key verse again, it means that whatever we do for the glory of God. And then our whole lives become an offering of worship. Now, I've used this word worship a lot, and when I do that sort of thing, well, concentrating on this word, let's see what it means in a dictionary. So he looked in the dictionary, and the quick definition was the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. And then another one had a bit of a more full explanation. It said, in Christianity, worship is the act of attributing honour and homage to God. In the New Testament, various words are used to refer to the term worship. One means to bow down to God. Or the same word was used to bow down to kings as well, to show honour and respect. Nothing about singing there, you notice. When Paul wrote to the Colossian church, as we heard Carolyn read earlier, as I say, that's in Turkey today, he urges them to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, whilst overflowing with gratitude. And when he was telling that to them, he wasn't giving them, or us now, something extra to do, to put onto their to-do list. It was, he said, to flow out of the new identity they had as Christian people. And that would be powered by a new motivation or reason for doing it. And it was to be worked out differently depending on their different situations, our everyday circumstances. So we'll just think of those 3 things very quickly. Firstly, our identity, who we are. We have to realise this, don't we? St. Paul tells us that we are Christians, so we are new creations of God. We are a new creation. These verses tell us that we've taken off the old self, verse 9 says, and put on a new self. we have a new identity. And that helps us to understand what it means to be created in God's image. We referred to that right at the beginning, didn't we? With that reading we did together, that prayer we said together. And verses 12 to 14 show us how we learn to behave differently towards one another because of our new identity as creations, as children of God. Then secondly, our motivation, why we can do whatever it is we do. Paul encourages the Colossian Christians to allow the peace of God and the word of Christ to work out in their lives together. And it's this bit that people are cutting out the little clothes and clothing themselves with compassion and kindness and gentleness and all those things is about. And this working out together happens now, like this, as we gather together, to learn together, to teach one another, and as we sing together as well. Our worship, as I say, as we're doing today, is the overflow of that new life in Christ we have as new creations of God. We learn a new story about the world and our place in it. We hear a word spoken to us in hymns and songs and psalms. We sing this new story to one another and, of course, to God. And then there was our situations. They're all different, aren't they? Wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we're doing, everything is changed, no matter what our different situations are. Whatever we do, at work, at school, at home, in the local shop, wherever, on the bus, we can now do in the name of Jesus, Paul says, and to the glory of God the Father. Worship is our whole life. And it's worked out in very practical ways as we get on with each other, with other people, as we do our work at home or wherever, spend our money and all those sorts of things. So our main message today is what? Worship is not just about our songs and prayers, but also our actions and attitudes in the world. While I was preparing for this service, I came across a lovely, fairly new hymn by Stuart Townend and Keith Getty called A Worker's Prayer. We're not going to try and sing it today because it'll take a while to learn. But I'll just read you the third verse as we finish this part of the service. Before you we kneel, our Master and Maker. Establish the work of our hands and order our steps to seek first your kingdom in every small and great task. May we live the gospel of your grace, serve your purpose in our fleeting days. Then our lives will bring eternal praise and all glory to your great name. So you can take your Play-Doh again now, and that model you made about something you did last week, and think about something you're going to be doing in this coming week, and perhaps remodel it. And think about, as you do it, what a difference it would make to those tasks and activities or whatever's if we were aware and knowing that we're doing them for God as well. So, make a new model which represents how you want to worship God with your hands this week. Or if you're really not into making Play-Doh models, you might want to think, you might want to talk, you might want to pray silently or together about it. Just a couple of minutes.